This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Get Carmen and Yurko podcasts on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
I'd like you to meet a real inspiration.
Carmen and Yurko. ESPN 1000.
Thank you to Jonathan Hood, who will be debuting the baseball show tonight at 6 o'clock. He joined us at 12:30. Again, it's Chicago's only interactive nightly show focused on Cubs, Sox, and all things Major League Baseball, hosted by Jonathan Hood. Weeknights at 6 p.m., and if you miss it, don't forget you can find all of the podcasts available on the ESPN Chicago app. Of course, thanks as well to Jesse Rogers and Scott Merkin for joining us on the Corona Hotline. I'm Jeff Mellor in for Carmen today, along with Yurko on Carmen and Yurko. It is time now to Crosstalk, which is sponsored by PropSwap. Check out the PropSwap website every day for new and updated bets you can purchase or sell your bets. You're ready to hedge? PropSwap, where America buys and sells its sports bets. And it's our pleasure to talk with Tom Waddle and Mark Silverman. Waddle and Sylvie.
Where's the breaking news robot guy?
We had it ready. We had it ready, and I didn't want to cut off the doctor because I felt like I wanted to give him his opportunity to speak. I also wanted Yurko to respond.
It's a very serious topic, guys. I'm serious.
Yes, that's exactly what it was.
But it is a serious topic.
Of course it is. That's why I'm at home again.
Good to see your face.
You're being quarantined.
No, but have you guys seen the Mahomes news?
Yeah, we did. We
10-year contract extension.
Crazy. Yes. I just saw it. Crazy.
Well, my first response was, why would any player sign a 10-year extension? There's got to be something about this.
The percentage
like if he gets
of the
a
cap.
Percentage of the yeah. cap. Is that what it's saying?
Well, that's what people were speculating leading into the negotiation.
And that's probably why we don't have any type of number linked to it as well.
I was going
to
say, that's the only way that a contract would make sense.
So right now, if it's $35 million of a $200 million cap, what's that percentage?
Did you say 35%
or 35 million in a $200 million cap.
Well, that's 17.5%.
Yeah, so about 20% of that. Let's round up to
20%. Yeah, because he'd probably be close to a $40 million guy.
So the cap in 10 years ends up getting at about $325 million. He's saying he's making $65 million.
Ooh, $325 million salary cap.
In 10 years.
Woo, that would be awesome.
Well, I don't know if it will or it won't. Let me just spitball it out there. But say it's $300 million, it's $60 million for the quarterback then.
What is the language in the NFL CBA? Are you allowed to negotiate percentages like that?
I'm sure you can. Okay. You could be the highest paid quarterback in the league. There's all types of things you can do.
Right.
That's up to the player and the
Jeff,
team.
He says he will be the richest player. He has the richest contract in NFL history. It will be.
Okay. And there's got to be a you know what.
And then it'll be passed 4 years from now. It'll be bypassed by another young hot quarterback. Could be
by
the
Mitch
one that's
Trubisky
in Clemson.
When Mitch redefines himself, right?
He couldn't get his fifth-year option picked up. The other guy just got a 10-year extension.
Don't be a hater, Sylvie.
I know, right? Listen. But all the mocks had Trubisky ahead. What do you want, Sylvie?
Hey, if Mahomes was here in Chicago, there's no way he'd be doing that in this Bears offense that he's doing in Kansas City.
Not with this team.
I'm sorry.
God, I love you, Mac. In my own house.
How was good to have you
with
back.
With no air conditioning.
Welcome. What happened?
Sweating my marbles off.
Tommy, you got two air conditioners for that palatial estate?
Probably
do
three.
I have two? No, I don't have two.
I've got two. One for the upstairs, one for the main level. I had my one on the main level go off. It was.
I came home, and then I believe it was tied to we had a power outage here early in my trip to South Carolina that lasted briefly that set something off that made it not work.
Oh, boy.
I'm working in a portion of my house right now, sweating my
beans. Are you in your underoos?
I'm not. No. I don't even want to see that, much less anybody.
Well, nobody's going to see it if you're in privacy and working in your office.
Well, I have somebody working on my air conditioner, my friend.
Okay.
Trying to get my beans
sweat down.
Is
that what you call it, my air conditioner?
Yes.
Is there any chance you come down here and work on my unit?
Air conditioning unit, of course.
Listen, I'm not going to go that route. I love the people at Carefree Comfort up here in the northern suburbs, and I would not besmirch.
Complimentary.
I would not be able or not want to besmirch them with comments like that, Johnny.
So you didn't.
Well, I'm a full paying customer. Don't go there.
So Wads, you did not have a guy come to work on your air conditioning at 6 a.m. when they were scheduled to be there.
I did
at
not,
8.
Jeff.
That
no,
is good.
No. I actually had to call them because they didn't know that my air conditioner was out until I told them.
Hey Wads, it's Randy. How you doing, buddy?
Hey bud.
Are you a big?
Let me tell you a story. Story number 27, and.
Just oh, you're now.
How I found socks.
I usually get this from 12 to 2.
Never
but
was.
I mean, now
it
I'm getting it from
just,
you too. Wise.
You know I love you.
But now the story 21, by the way.
Yeah, up to 21. Thank you, Sylvie. I was going to ask you, are you a big Charlie Daniels guy? Because he passed away.
He did pass away.
Yeah, I saw that. What was he 84?
83.
Yeah.
Devil went down to Georgia looking for a soul to steal.
I was not like a huge, I was not an over-the-top fan. I mean, I appreciated his music, but it's not something that was on my playlist.
Willie Nelson's more up your speed, right?
There's no question.
That's his country god right there.
How about the Eagles? Were you guys locked into ESPN last night for the Eagles?
No, I was not, no. But I like the Eagles. I saw the Eagles in concert with Chris Stapleton, so I'm a fan of both.
You got a program. I'm fine with it, but it just wasn't something that I was looking for.
Yeah, exactly. That's why when you turn on ESPN, you probably live concerts are an odd choice is all. Yurko and I were debating, like, there's so many classic games that ESPN has in their library. You would think if you just had, like, a director's cut and you got anybody you wanted, whoever you have available, like, you know, go
into your... Tommy, one of the finest football games you've ever played. You get to comment on it along with an offensive lineman and a defensive guy.
Yeah.
You know, and you get to go back and forth. Yeah, to say this is what we're thinking, this is what we're doing.
Good idea, Johnny.
The NHL Network has been doing that. I know I watched one a couple Sundays ago. Eddie Olczyk was emceeing it. It was Game 6, Devils, Rangers.
I remember that. Scott Stevens was on the ice.
Yes, he was. And it was Eddie Olczyk, and he was moderating with Mark Messier. It was Mark Messier's guarantee that they were going to win Game 6. And
against Vancouver, was it?
Devils. It was actually before that. That was the series before the Eastern Conference Finals. And Eddie Olczyk was...
You guys puffing your chest out with your hockey knowledge.
Look at me! He was moderating it, and he had Mark Messier, Ken Danico, and Mike Richter, and they were just reacting to the game as it was happening. And look, it was a classic game from like 1994, and I had no interest in watching it. And I found myself like captivated just to watch four old athletes relive like a classic game. And I think that's perfect programming.
Let me give you what happened. Here's what happened. They jumped off the Maguire-Sosa cliff. once they got to that level, they're like, anything else we put on a Sunday night will be better.
That's good.
So they just said, look, an Eagles concert narrated by Chris Berman, better.
Bam.
So I think they reached rock bottom with
we
the Sosa-Maguire doc.
Like concert thoughts from the audience, like, hey, which concert would you like to see again? I think that'd be great. Red Hot Chili Peppers at Red Rock. You know,
I'll do 4 hours
on this.
Myself. You know what? We should start a podcast for that, Abdallah. You can just go through.
Rammstein from Rammstein, Germany.
Yurko, I have an Abdallah question for you.
Yeah.
You're always critical of, like, you know, Sylvie was charging people back in the day.
You did charge people for parties that you were having.
All right. So.
$10, please, and a bottle of vodka.
As you saw and probably heard on their show, Abdallah had a terrible shot golfing with Black.
Sure.
And hit him with a golf ball in the elbow.
Hit Chris Black with a golf ball.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hard. That's damn near impossible.
You would think.
Shouldn't he buy him more than a beer for that? Like, they golf the next day.
About a sling.
I take that back. We didn't actually. I forgot. I hit him on Saturday.
Okay.
We did not golf on Sunday.
All right. So on Saturday, was he ahead of you when you hit your golf shot?
Like in front of me?
So. Yeah.
Yeah,
no, was he ahead of you? Like, he could have been 40 yards to the right, but was he ahead of you?
He was. I mean, this thing went almost 90 degrees, but yes, he was probably about 15 yards to my right and 5 yards up. So it went at a diagonal. I don't know how I hit him. You give me $10,000, I'd never hit him again.
You hit it off the hosel. There's a number of different ways.
It wasn't intentional.
I understand, but in theory...
I couldn't yell four either. It was so fast.
The other golfer has to be wary of where he's at and understand the exact qualifications of the golfer that's hitting the ball.
Sylvie wants me to pay for his round. Like, we, you know,
I think
you know, like, you pay for golf. You know,
you injured one of your best friends.
I did. He's fine. It's like I hit him with a paintball. If we were paintballing and I hit him with a paintball, same injury.
You must not create a lot of clubhead speed then. If you
no, because I hit him on the I hit him on the meat part of the arm.
Yeah, and that,
there's no meat on any of his body.
Doesn't that sound like a hosel shot?
That does.
It went off the hosel and shot directly at about a...
Got your body way in front of it.
Right, probably about a 60-degree angle and caught him, you know, 15 and 5, if I do the Pythagorean theorem in my mind.
Were you concerned with his
well-being? Oh, my God, yeah, absolutely.
Or were you laughing initially?
No, like, I initially was very concerned, and then he was like, it stings and it hurts.
He did the show this morning, so he wasn't really affected to do the show.
Did the show Sunday morning, yeah.
There you go.
He was fine. This was probably the...
Did you kiss his boo-boo? Did you kiss
said that to a doctor before, social distancing. Haven't you, Adam? Social distancing. It stings and hurts. You've said that to a doctor before, haven't
no,
you?
No, I'm clean. It was on the sixth hole, and he was fine. He said, like, it was tingling a little bit, but by the time we got on the back nine, he was fine.
He's going to have PTSD after that, though.
Well, he's never going to play golf with you again. I'd never play golf with the guy that hit me.
But I'm good with you buying him a beer or two. I don't think you need to purchase anything for him.
Pick up the next round of golf. Next round of golf, you guys play together.
That's what I was saying.
Something like that.
Next round on me.
Yeah, exactly.
I wouldn't even go that far.
He got mad that I kept apologizing. He was like, stop apologizing. It's not like you meant to do this.
Right, like in Yurko said, know who you're playing with.
Not even the professionals can shoot a shot like that.
What does Stacey King say? What is it, KYP, know your personnel?
That's right.
Know the personnel in your foursome, KYP.
Know who you're playing with. Yeah.
Shankopotamus is playing right next to you.
That's right.
So, what are your initial thoughts, guys? Are we all just lying to ourselves about baseball actually pulling this off and playing?
I don't know if we're lying to us, Mellor, but I find it comical that, and leave it to baseball, so maybe it shouldn't be comical, that, like, they're coming up with this, you know, several hundred page handbook, and they're like, you know what, it would be really cute that nobody could spit, nobody could shower, and then, you know, hey, the pitchers are going to bring their own towel in their back pocket so they can lick their fingers that way and not go to the mouth. But by the way, we're not going to test, and we're not going to have testing protocols in place. In some teams, our testers won't show up. And in other teams, we won't get results back. Like, that is saying we want to play baseball without a bat. Like, that's the first thing you need. If you go and you want to play football, what do you need? You need a football. You need a football. In order to survive in COVID, you're going to need to test. And you're going to need to keep it as safe as possible. And if you don't have the bases covered, no pun intended, where testers aren't showing up as they should, if you couldn't do that right, you're going to mess the whole freaking thing up.
Are you surprised? You had a front row seat for all of that baseball nonsense that went back
I shouldn't
and forth.
Be, but Waddle, that's the first thing you have to get. That's the first thing you have to make sure you have covered. It's the first thing.
But it was the last thing they addressed, actually, which is the problem.
Yeah. Look, if you go to a diamond with your friends and you don't have this really cool batter's box with chalk, you can play. You know where home plate is. You don't need, like, the chalk outlining the batter's box. You don't need, like, really cool bases. You could put down mitts and you could play baseball, pick up base. You need a ball and you need a bat. In this case, the ball and the bat in COVID is testing. If you are going to open your doors to your players and you want to keep them safe, the testers have to be there and the results need to get there. And if you can't do that right, you're nowhere to be found.
Can't really argue with that.
It seems like this should be, I mean, as crazy as this sounds, this should be a pretty easy fix. I mean, it's embarrassing that they've even had to discuss this.
That's what I mean, pretty easy fix. Why should you even have to fix this? No,
well, I mean, to answer your point, though, are we going to get baseball? If they find a way to get their act straight, which should be an easy fix, then yeah, I'm still going to suggest that they're going to try to pull it off.
You're right. It should. Well, but if it was an easy fix, wouldn't it have been easy to have it ready to go at the start of this?
First thing you need to do, Mellor.
I would have thought, hey, let's have the testing protocol ready to go.
Listen, does your kid make mistakes? That's how he learns.
My kid doesn't run a multi-billion-dollar sports organization, though.
But you know what? This is a group of kids. This is from a business perspective, obviously, it's a group of kids. So, listen, I'm not trying to give them a pass. I'm saying, at the very least, this should be something that they should be able to address and hopefully fix quickly so that you can get back to the act of playing baseball.
All right, guys, I missed the meeting, but I do want to know what we're going to talk about on Waddle and Sylvie. Please tell me we will discuss Please tell me we will discuss the Pablo Sandoval photo.
Yeah, I've got, as you would guess, Mellor, I'm up on steroids. I'm all roided up from post-treatment.
That's not a saying, right? I'm up on steroids. You're just being accurate about how you feel. You're
juiced up today, yes.
Right.
Yes.
It's not a t-shirt that says, hey, I'm up on steroids.
So Sylvie's running even hotter than he normally would run if I go third person, which I normally don't do except when I'm on steroids.
All right, I'm going back to South Carolina, fellas. See ya.
So, like, I don't get the Pablo Sandoval outrage on one end of it. So I would like to get into that. I do have a take, too, on hot dog eating. I heard your take. I want to ask the guys something on that. And then, obviously, Chris Bryant spoke today. A lot of great things that he had to say. Where's Kopech? That's an interesting topic. And the schedule comes out at 5 and a whole heck of a lot of fun. We'll take your calls, 312-332-3776. And, guys, don't forget, the brand-new baseball show debuts right after us today.
Oh, yeah.
For all this breaking news on the schedule and everything, with Jonathan Hood at 6.
Damn right. We will all be listening to that. But before we get to the baseball show at 6 tonight, it's Waddle and Sylvie. They're up next on ESPN 1000.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Hope everyone had a fantastic holiday weekend. Waddle back from South Carolina. He is back on the air. Not back in the First Midwest Bank studio because of the quarantine rules.
Home arrest again. I'm back in home arrest.
So, yeah, and I'm...
better be safe than sorry. I get it.
But the same fun is normal, and we want to hear from you at 312-332-3776.
Aside from not having air conditioning currently in the space I'm working from, I have no problem being at home right now. I've got to be honest. I love the smiling faces of everyone I see when I go to work, but listen, it is what it is. We deal with it.
Yeah, every day is a different day, and unlike any new day that we've gone through in our lives. I was trying to tell my kids that over the weekend. They started day
camp today. Were they
listening?
Not
really. They wanted their iPads. They wanted their iPad. Daddy, just give me my iPad.
Have you been called by the camp yet to say that Braxton has taken a wiffle ball bat to some of the older kids yet?
Braxton made it through a successful day. He doesn't go for the full. He's only 4, so he goes from like 8:30 to 1 something. So he's made it back in one piece, and everyone with him stayed in one piece.
Okay.
Mason will come home like in the 3 o'clock hour at some time.
So you had vacation starting today with the kids actually going to camp.
Eerily quiet. Like, I mean, we have not had a weekday with kids out of the house.
Except for you yelling at Twitter that it was eerily quiet. Right.
What was that?
No, I said, except for you sitting in your chair yelling at Twitter,
it was
eerily quiet.
Exactly, right. You know me. I've been off a couple of extra days. I've taken all this in. But it was eerily quiet here. I mean, they've been with us every day 24/7 since March, since it started, since they couldn't go to school. And, like, it's weird. I mean, as a father of a 6 and a 4-year-old and sending them their first day of camp, there's a lot of anxiety to begin with. And then you're sending them in the middle of a pandemic. And, oh, by the way, it's 90-plus degrees outside. So you're worried about, hey, are they going to stay hydrated and everything like that?
But, and dad is immune, deficient at this point as well, compromised as well. So I get it.
We ran it up the chain with all the doctors, like, before anyone, like, says, Sylvie, how can you send them to camp? All the doctors, the cancer chair, the pediatric people who we trust and we love and who look out for our kids, all said that we should be good to go with the kids and not affecting me.
So. Listen, I bet you Braxton had a blast today. I bet you Mason comes home and has 100 stories and loved it as well. So good day in the Silverman household.
Yeah, so everyone had a good 4th of July. We have sold over $32,000 in the Obvious shirts for the Sylvia Strong campaign that my son designed. A lot of great pictures. People tweeted, thank you very much. The other design is the Sylvie Strong. I had my third treatment on Thursday. Feeling great. You can still buy them. The goal is $50,000. Every cent will go to the V Foundation, and every cent that the V Foundation uses will go for cancer research. So though, and I talked to Joe today, and I believe he's going to do some masks and stickers too.
There you go.
So like maybe we can get the if you
bumper
want
stickers.
Ball in the fall,
yeah,
wear a mask. Right? That's your what is it? Yeah. Ball in the fall, wear a mask.
Yeah, I mean, listen, don't tell me you love ball if you're not willing to wear a mask. That's all kind of the message was before I got in a car and drove 15 hours to South Carolina, because I was kind of like wanted to remind people. Everyone's telling me how much they can't wait for football, college, and the NFL. Hopefully, fingers crossed. Well, I mean, listen, do you love ball? Then wear a mask. If you don't love ball, then that's different. But if you say you love ball and you won't wear a mask, you don't love ball. You're just a liar.
I think we can even expand it, too. Like, Avi, I'm not telling obvious shirts how to do their job, but, you know, like, you can expand this, too, because, Sylvie, you're talking about how great this piece of quiet is, how awesome it is. You don't want to homeschool your kids in the fall? Wear a mask. Right.
There you go.
Like, you
that's
want that vacation?
One.
Wear a mask.
Well
like, you
done,
want your kids
no
to go back
more
to
school? Homeschool?
Wear a mask. Absolutely.
By the way,
that's a great line.
I think that Harvard announced today that all 2020/2021 classes are going to be online. Did I get that correct?
Well, and they're considering moving their football to the spring.
I have a nephew who I was vacationing with who plays football and lacrosse at Yale, and it was his understanding that I heard earlier prior to reading it on Twitter that a decision will be made by the Ivy League on Wednesday about whether or not there will be a football season or a fall sports season. And my guess is there will not be.
Well, they set the trends.
Yes.
They set the basketball trend.
Yes.
The Ivy Leaguers are the smart ones. We follow them to begin with. We've given them every baseball job known to man. You know, you take over our president
and
they
still
manager.
they still give guys like Chatwood $38 million over 4 years.
Right.
So I mean it's not.
But when it comes to the science, the Ivy Leaguers are usually ahead of the game. So I go like Waddle. I told you before you went away, and I
well,
go
by
back
going
and
away,
forth.
I mean I went on vacation. I wasn't in jail. Okay, just for the record. Okay, go
say,
ahead.
I didn't.
No,
say,
you said before you went away, and I usually didn't. Equate
Waddle,
that to going away.
Well, Waddle, before you went behind bars for the week, I was telling you that I go back and forth every day. One day I'm really down, and I'm like, what the hell are we going to talk about? Like, it's one thing to do these 3 months, but it's another thing if we get here and we get the guys to the bubble of the NBA and we get people at Wrigley and Guaranteed Rate, and I'm watching Javi slash a double down the line, and I'm hearing David Ross. Can you play this for me, Abdallah? You could hear David Ross yelling at Schwarber to run from first to third and maybe even score. Listen to this glorious sound for a second. I went from 6 to midnight yesterday watching that. I mean,
I didn't understand a GD thing I just heard there.
Oh, it's David Ross. Yeah, it was a double down the line from Javi, and it was Schwarber from first to third, and, you know,
you got excited. You got excited, but we call that the Jeff Blauser syndrome, where you have to understand Schwarber's not going to be able to hit Cubs pitching this year. He's going to have to face other teams.
But it was Javi hitting. It was
Javi,
Schwarber
okay.
running.
Oh,
and
I
it was
you.
Rossi managing, not just sitting there on the top step. It was Rossi
ooh,
into
ooh,
the game.
Wow. Was that a shot at Joe?
No. I love Joe.
Wow.
Respect 90.
No, but yes.
No.
Yeah. No, yes. Yeah, no.
Yes, no. And it was great to hear, and I saw all the people in my timeline, and people are optimistic about the White Sox and everything like this. And, oh, Rodon is saying that he could pitch. And then, like, so I get really excited 1 minute, and then the next minute I'm reading, like, baseball doesn't even send the proper people to test at the right spot.
Yeah.
And teams have to cancel. And, like, I just worry, Waddle, that we're all here, that the boys are in the bubble, that the baseball teams are in their facilities, and then are we really going to get to the end of July, and are we going to have this big sports gala, or are we just going to have this huge sports cancellation?
Your expectation level, I'm hoping, was set at a reasonable spot, right? That you knew that this was going to be a roller coaster ride.
This is a high wire act.
Well, okay, you can define it however you want. So there will be some slippage at times. You just got to maintain your status on the... If you're laying on the wire, you're still on the wire, right? If you're clinging to the wire, you're still on the wire. So until you part company with the wire, there's still a chance. And I don't see that, using your example, that the high wire walker and the wire have separated at this point. I see some wobbling, there's no question, but when you walk that period or that length of distance at that height with some of the outside conditions, you know, there is going to be a little bit of a wobble. And I think that this is a little bit of a wobble, but I think I'm here to pick you up. I think it's a fixable wobble. I think it's one of those wobbles that you look at yourself and you go, why the hell are we dealing with this wobble? This should be elementary. But you are dealing with it, and it is something that I think that they can get a handle on. It should be fixable. So I still am optimistic that they'll be able to get some sort of sports-a-roo going at some point.
I pulled this question, boys. It's today's Drive Toyota poll question. Cubs, so the schedule comes out today, right? 5 o'clock is when they're releasing things.
We've been told.
That's when you find out that the Cubs open up on ESPN and they face the Brewers, right? Isn't that what
that is correct? That's there? Where we're looking for confirmation. But yes,
schedule leaks. And then what? The Cubs and Sox are going to end the year.
I heard, or I saw that leaked as well. So
if that is true, and the Cubs and White Sox at the end of this 60-game season are playing. The Cubs and White Sox to end the MLB season will, ... have playoff implications, be a meaningless series, or not be played. Those are the three options I gave you. Have I missed one? You can vote on my Twitter handle, at Waddle and Sylvie.
I went with A.
That's the best-case scenario right there.
Of course. That's what I'm riding. I'm riding on the optimistic train right now.
Not only will we have a 60-game season, we'll get to the end, and one of our Chicago, or maybe both of our Chicago baseball teams, are playing for the playoffs.
I voted not be played, and a lot of Buster Olney's out there with me.
Well,
That's their leading vote getter, though, by the way.
Yeah, 53.7% going with not be played. 33.8% riding with Waddle have playoff implications, and a 12.5% just saying, yes, we'll play 60 games, but it will be a meaningless series. Dalla, how did you vote?
I'm going to say we'll have playoff implications.
Thank you.
I don't know for who or for whom, but it'll have playoff implications for one of the teams.
Okay. I want to play you some sound from today. David Ross is not happy with Major League Baseball. Chris Bryant continues to say the same thing about his future with the Cubs. What is that? We will play that for you coming up next.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
We're waiting to see if baseball can get through this turbulent time. Someone was suggesting to me, like, the two White Sox players, has it been publicized that Yoan Moncada could be one of the positive tests?
Well, he was absent from guaranteed rate today, and Ricky Renteria was asked about it, and he didn't give any specifics.
Yeah, and they're going to stay away from that. And I think Jesse has pointed out to us that you can sort of just, by adding up the people and who's missing and who they're telling you has what injury and the ones they're not telling you about, you can sort of draw your own conclusions to. I don't know where Kopech is or the latest on Kopech. That's a story to keep your eye on the South side.
Did I read that of all the tests that were taken, was it 31 positives and 10 of those were front office people? Is that correct? Did I read that correctly this weekend?
It was like 1.something% of players.
I think it was 38 total.
Yeah,
and 10 30, of them.
Yeah. 31 players.
Okay. Yeah.
1.2 positivity rate.
I mean, not ideal, but
no,
it could have been worse.
It was good news, yes.
Yeah, that's good news, isn't it?
Like, look, we're going to cycle through people who are positive.
Yes.
Are we going to keep it at a low enough number by testing enough, by quarantining enough, by staying safe and being responsible enough to continue to field these teams like the golf, like you brought up in the conference call, Waddle, that golf has had people who've had to withdraw because of caddies, because of players, yeah. But they still have a field where the big man Bryson DeChambeau can still win a tournament this weekend.
They keep moving on. They deal with it, and this is kind of like the model. And maybe golf is going to be easy. It's going to be easier for golf because there's natural social distancing. For the most part, not so much with players and their caddies, but your playing partners, and there's no fans out there. I think golf has handled it quite nicely. Look, a lot of this is going to be on the players, too. Like, are you going to be, like, okay, let's assume at some point Major League Baseball will get their heads out of their rear ends, and they'll have the testing they'll have a system that actually works, and that at that point, isn't it up to the players in a lot of ways to it's more than 50% on the players to make sure that they're doing the responsible thing and not putting themselves and others in jeopardy by doing something off script.
And if you don't, just decommit like David Price did, like others are doing. If you don't feel safe or you don't feel that you could be responsible enough, say this isn't my year and I'll see you next year. And I'm fine with that.
Yeah, so Mellor, you voted no, that there won't be any playing. Is that because of others, or do you think that the Major League Baseball players in general won't have the discipline to follow procedure enough so that they can actually get through this?
I think I actually have a lot of faith that a lot of players will take it very seriously. I'm concerned about, I was actually optimistic on Friday when we got those initial results that there was 31 players, 1.2 positivity rate. I was like, well, that's encouraging to say the least. But then based on what happened over the weekend with the fact that they don't have the proper testing protocol in place, that's hugely problematic for me because, listen, you can't have a five-day lag time on these negative.
You're risking everything.
Exactly. And all it's going to take is one breakout for one team.
The 5 days, it spreads like wildfire.
Exactly. And it's not, you don't want to, I don't want to be an alarmist here, but one team has to shut it down. That basically completely sabotages your entire season, does it not? It's not like you're just going to go forward and play the season without the Astros if they all have a huge outbreak.
What is the protocol for how often they're going to test everyone?
It's like every other day, I think David Ross said. Let me play you Ross first. Let's get back to the story of the day, and that is that teams have had to cancel their workouts, a couple of teams, because the testers didn't even show up, okay? That these testers are supposed to be there. This is supposed to be the first thing the baseball worked out before they, can worry about salary. Can we do this safely? And in order to do this safely, how do we go about it? And the way we go about it is every day we're going to have the testers show up. And then the testers are supposed to be there at a certain time, and testers didn't show up. And then other teams are having problems where they're doing this spit test, and it's not the swab test. They're spitting into this test tube. And they're not getting their results back in several days like they were supposed to. And so David Ross today was not happy with Major League Baseball.
Yeah, I mean, you read around the league and it's definitely new for everybody. So you want to try to give Major League Baseball a little bit of slack in some areas because we're all kind of needing some slack in some areas. But I think the protocols they have in place are for a reason, and we need to get these tests done. We need to get these tests back, these results back, so everybody feels safe to come to work and create that safe environment. And I've voiced my opinion to Major League Baseball, and they assured me that they're working as diligently as they can and understand they're falling short in some areas, but they've assured me that they're cleaning things up.
I just keep thinking of the meme, "You had one job." Like, this is the most basic job of coming back. It reminds me of the old Seinfeld bit where Seinfeld rents a car and he makes a reservation for the car and he shows up to the car rental desk and they say, "Well, we're sorry, we don't have your car." And he goes, "But I made the reservation." And they're like, "Well, even though you made the reservation, we still don't have your car." And he's like, "Isn't the point of making the reservation so you reserve my car? The point of coming back, job one, nothing else happens. Games, World Series, people getting paid. If you can't follow your basic safety instructions first, you can't have anything. It's like your thing, Waddle, about masks. You can't have ball in the fall if you don't want to wear a mask. If baseball had one job to do, the most basic job to do, is to test and get the results out and to be responsible and have testers show up to work, God forbid. You can't do that. How the hell do you expect them to get the hotels right, to get the travel right, to get the games on the field, to safely put fans in the stands? How can they do all of that?
Well, you may find more guys decide to tap out and not participate because of this as well. I mean, that's just reality. If they don't have trust in it, you know, then they're going to be the first ones to bail on it.
I think that's that point you bring up, though, Waddle. I think there's a tipping point, and I think the domino is Mike Trout. If he opts out because he doesn't like what he's seen and heard, I think you see a lot of guys follow suit.
I disagree. Well, who's Mike Trout?
Yeah, I don't
agree
with
Mike?
That.
Who's Mike? Listen, LeBron. This is Mike Trout.
I know, but
you think that Chris Bryant, play the cut more on, it's labeled more on Chris Bryant opting out. Just the beginning of it real quick.
Imagine me opting out.
Imagine Chris Bryant opting out. He's not going to opt out.
I just couldn't do that.
Come on. He's not going to do it.
Listen, Mellor, you're the one that has the stats about the players that 60-some percent of them make under $1 million. Guys want to get paid.
Well, agreed. And it's certainly a haves and haves not situation. Like, all the guys who have opted out initially, a lot of them have signed long-term deals. Like, Ryan Zimmerman has a lot of money in his bank account. Ian Desmond for the Rockies signed a $70 million contract at one point in his career. David Price has made a lot of money for a lot of different teams already.
Well,
so
Markakis just stepped away as well, because didn't he say, I'm at a point in my career where I'm not chasing money.
I completely agree. But I do think if you start seeing the superstars in baseball, and even, look, Trout gave you this over the weekend. Is this going to work?
I talked to a lot of guys across the league, and they're texting me a lot. I'm not going to name any names, but just, you know, it's just a crazy – they're all thinking the same thing. Is this going to work?
I don't think that –
Yeah, but Trout ain't talking to Descalso, okay? He's talking to other guys on the Mike Trout, you know, level.
But you don't think if a lot of the super, see, for the NBA, they're following suit because LeBron wants to play, right?
Like, we all agree on that. Provide them more jobs for the lesser guys, though.
Right.
Do you know guys what I mean? It could have a way of the lesser guys to increase their profile if those guys drop out.
No question, Sylvie. Look, this is why when one guy steps out, and I'm not being critical of if you don't feel comfortable playing, I support the hell out of your right to move aside and decide that this isn't what's best for you and your family. Totally support that. I'm just telling you, they're going to be people that are going to be more than willing to try and snag one of those roster spots to prove themselves and at the very least maintain their Major League Baseball career, if not start a Major League Baseball career. So for every Mike Trout that walks away, I think there's going to be a young guy that's looking for an opportunity to play.
Do we have the Chris Bryant soundbite, guys, where he admitted that he thought he would feel safe, but yet he doesn't feel safe? I thought that was an interesting quote that Jesse tweeted out earlier.
And how can you feel totally safe, though, knowing that even the doctors that are leading the way here have to change their approach and their direction and zig and zag because of what they learn on a day-in and day-out basis? I can't imagine anybody.
But it starts with testing, Waddle. Like, what if you showed up to Platteville and they're like, you know what, we got everything. We got the goalposts. I got some football.
No, you're right.
I got no helmet. You know, but we're going to, and Ditka wants to line you guys up. Look,
well, we did
I know
that,
we got no helmet, but we could still play.
Don't you think we had those practices at Platteville back in the early 90s?
I mean, and we learned from it, right? Like, you got to have a helmet. Like, you got, that's the first thing when you design the plan to return. If you say testers are going to be there every day, the testers must show up. If you are going to test, you must get the results back in a meaningful amount of time so we know that someone in that practice 4 days later isn't infected and getting everybody, and then we're going to have to shut down the sport.
Everything you say is exactly 100% true. I'm just suggesting to you they have the resources, and if you have the resources and the desire – then you should be able to find a way to solve this problem. So, listen, I'm not disputing what you're saying. Major League Baseball continues to trip all over themselves. But I don't think it's to the point where
But is it, you know what, though? Is it just baseball, or is it just if you look across this country, when you see a rise in cases, all of a sudden you start to see testing people, labs that are responsible for testing overwhelmed, and what you thought you maybe could have accomplished when your case numbers were lower, when you actually agreed upon this a couple weeks ago, all of a sudden with spikes in cases across the country, you wonder if what they thought they could accomplish testing-wise might be more ambitious than they can actually carry.
Well, I would suggest to you that everything becomes a chain reaction. So if there are companies that are developing tests on a larger scale, which allows you to do more testing, then the labs that have the capacity to process those testing, maybe it'll take time to ramp that up a little bit more as well. Look, I'm not telling you both of you guys that your fears are unwarranted. They are. I'm just saying this seems to me to be an issue that if they get their asses in line, quickly, that they should be able to solve.
Let's hope so. I bet on the NBA getting this right from the start.
Well, see, there you go then. So then there is a group that can do that. By the way, I think Major League Baseball, I don't know when this was. I think Bob Nightingale just a couple of minutes ago released Major League Baseball.
As a statement out there, right?
Yeah.
All right, so we'll read baseball statement. I got to get to Chris Bryant's sound about wanting to be a Cub. And he's insistent on one point. We'll play you that next.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
Sports. I mean, the PGA play, NASCAR ran. We had people hitting baseballs all over the country. Really cool to see all my favorite people who tweet about my favorite baseball team, the Cubs. It's cool as a Chicago broadcaster and someone who doesn't hate the Sox to see their young team and what they're doing on the South Side. So look, and then the NBA, I mean, we're weeks away now. We're in the month of the sports returning. Now we just got to get there. We just got to make sure we do the things we need to do to be safe and to get to sports. Waddle talked about the players being responsible. I've talked about how Major League Baseball can't screw up the simple stuff that they needed to know to do right from the very start. They can't have slippages like this.
Did you read the statement? Basically, they're referencing as an excuse a Utah lab, and I believe the holiday weekend caused a bit of a snafu, as they're describing it, not a huge one, but that it won't be an issue going forward. Now, take baseball at their word. They have credibility issues. There's no
doubt.
Sure.
They've been bragging about this Utah facility for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And then they knew they were going to come back around the holiday weekend.
Listen, you know there's going to be bumps in the road. This is just one of this is an area where the bump can't be accepted. Like, okay, you've used up your good graces or your goodwill with this. If it happens again, the odds are it's going to go sideways.
I think we need later in the show, Meller, just a Rob Manfred hates baseball one more time.
Sure.
Yeah, later
any
in the show.
Any excuse to play that song.
Yeah, I love it from Danny Rocket. But let's play Chris Bryant about being a Cub and then about the safety stuff. Chris Bryant spoke today. I thought Abdallah, you listened to the entire thing. Lots of thoughts from a Chris Bryant today, correct?
Yeah, he talked about, the testing and how the Cubs had a few days where they didn't get tested. He said he was tested on Tuesday, and then he wasn't tested again until Sunday. And a couple of the guys, I believe it's Kyle Ryan, who is having some intake issues. He doesn't have it, but he's having some intake issues. And then Chris Bryant also went third person and talked about how much he loved baseball and how much he wanted to be a Cub.
Are you talking about the one where he's asked if he's concerned about being traded?
Yes.
Okay. He was asked if he's concerned about being traded.
I would like it not to be a concern. I would like to think that I wouldn't be shipped out in the middle of a pandemic. But I think I've made it. I'm trying to make it clear in that I really love it here, and I love playing here, and I love everything about the city and the people in this clubhouse and all around. I've never not wanted to be here, regardless of whatever has happened in the past or whatever people have perceived about, my situation or based on just because I have a superpower agent or this and that. Like, I'm I'm just Chris. I like playing here. I like playing baseball. I like running hard to first. I like giving my best at bat out there, and I just hope people can appreciate that.
Went a little Bull Durham there about the things that he likes. First base.
I think that's great, and it makes you want to raise your hands in the air and go, yeah! But when your super powerful agent is asking for a deal that eclipses, you know, Bryce Harper's, then, and you're the owner of your club is talking about biblical slashes to payroll or to revenue, the likelihood of that happening, it sounds great, but what's the likelihood of that them coming to an extension or?
I don't know if there's ever been a more complex time to bring back a player, Waddle. A, because of the financial uncertainty. B, do we know how great of a player Chris Bryant is these days? You know, is he a superstar MVP? Is he a very, very good player? How much does he want? How much does he love being here? Does he love being here where he will take less than market value? Probably not. What is his market value?
He shouldn't have to. He shouldn't have to take less than market value to play in a place that he professes that he wants to play. He should get market value.
What is market value in 2021?
That is a great question, and I don't think... Dude. I think market value at the end of this year is going to be significantly different than it was at the beginning of the calendar year when the pandemic was not something that was a part of our everyday life.
I mentioned this with Yurko. I think the idea of signing a long-term deal with a player, if you're a front office, is probably negligent. I mean, especially because what we're dealing with in the middle of coronavirus, where we're finding out, like, there's reports now, you know, there's belief that it's a vascular disease. It's not a respiratory disease. And if that is the case, the concerns about what that means for long-term health for people who've contracted it, even if you're, you know, very small symptoms, like there's no telling how that actually affects people long-term. And so if you're an athlete who you need to perform at a certain physical level, like I would be concerned about signing anybody who contracts COVID because you don't know the long-term outlook. Sure, it might not have an effect, but if you're running a baseball team, can you really tell your owner we should commit $200 million to a guy for the next 5 to 6 years if he contracted COVID or you're in the middle of the pandemic?
Well, I don't know. I mean, listen, I don't.
It's an unknown. Nobody knows.
I don't know that anybody has.
If you're an owner.
Well,
you're suggesting
that he's been tested positive for scenario.
What I'm saying is not knowing and knowing that so many people right now what can happen. And if you're playing and you have the potential of contracting the virus, do you want to, at this stage, sign anybody to a long-term deal without a vaccine on the table, not knowing the long-term effects that could happen if an athlete contracts it?
I don't think that's on the front of their brain.
But
I don't. If you could get Chris Bryant for a good cost,
what's a good
not
cost?
To be negligent,
what's a good cost though?
Well, and that's the big question with Tom Ricketts these days. Like, is any cost a good cost, or would he say he's losing so much money that they have to shed and not invest? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, this is going to be, that's why I am, like, you could see in 2021, okay, Theo is a free agent in 2021. Rizzo is a free agent at 2021. Bryant is a free agent in 2021. All these guys, I mean, and with the quote losing money at biblical proportions and what they've gone through, I mean, is this going to come and go quickly?
It's an interesting question. I mean, look, they may be looking to deal him. What is the trade deadline? It's the end of August.
Yeah, but no one, I really believe, I've asked the question, what did Benetti say, that it was a super interesting question when I asked him about, like, will
teams... Yeah, you didn't get credit for that.
Yeah, I don't get credit. I still feel like I did get a gold star just on my fridge.
That's fine.
I mean, if that makes you sleep better.
I could make my own content.
Sylvie's the Giannis of the good question game on ESPN 1000.
Yeah. But I've sort of come up to the conclusion, if you're a general manager now and you're hearing Buster Olney and you're hearing the experts say there's a really good chance the sport's going to get shut down before championships getting handed out, why would you ever make a huge trade for somebody and give up something of note? Like, why would anybody make a trade this year and the season may not happen?
What if you can steal a guy because a team's looking to dump salary, at least for the short run? I mean,
championship being handed out, if you make a trade on August 30th before the deadline, and then on October 11th, they say, well, we can't play, it got too bad again. Now what?
All I know is I think there'd be a lot of teams that would be interested in Javi Bryant at the Javi Baez or Chris Bryant. What a great combination of a player that would be. Either one of them. I would be listening. If I was the general manager of a baseball team and I was told that Tom Ricketts can't pay these guys, I'd be interested. Now, I may not pull the trigger on a deal like that just yet, but I'd be asking questions. I got to look past today, you know, as scary as that may sound, I got to look past today to the future in some ways.
312-332-3776 as sports fans. How are you sorting this out? Are you optimistic baseball is going to be played? Are you pissed at the way baseball has handled this? Bryant's future on the table. Sox topics as well. Where's Kopech? 312-332-3776. We'll take all your calls in 2 minutes. And also, do you believe the Cubs' excuse on the dishwashing? We're up in 120 seconds.